You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This week we start a brand new serial, Cabaret of Monsters. This novella is a new prequel to The Creature Court, the trilogy I'll be re-releasing next year, which I crowdfunded via Kickstarter. The Creature Court is an epic urban fantasy series inspired by ancient Roman festivals, Parisian cabaret theatre and the Roaring Twenties. So Cabaret of Monsters went out to Kickstarter backers earlier this year. It's going on general sale on the 15th of November, just in a few days, in ebook and in paperback. The paperback is just beautiful. The cover was done by Brisbane artist Kathleen Jennings and Melbourne cover designer Kathy Larson. Their work combined is beautiful. The Creature Court trilogy is being covered by them too, and that's really pretty too. I highly recommend you pick up a copy of Cabaret of Monsters in paperback for yourself or for somebody you love this Christmas. It's a very small book, but it is adorable. The audiobook is also going to be available for sale this week for those of you who don't want to wait many, many weeks as it unfolds here on the podcast. So Cabaret of Monsters is a novella and a standalone prequel to the trilogy. It doesn't require you to have read the other books, and hopefully it will whet your appetite for the whole series if you haven't yet discovered The Creature Court. Here's the official blurb. Saturnalia in Alfler is a time of topsy-turvy revels, of the world turned upside down and transformed before your eyes. The city's theatres produce an annual display of reversals, surprises, and transformations. In this city, flappers can transform into wolves. Even the rats are not what they seem. Evie Aguilera is on a mission to infiltrate the theatrical world of Alfler and discover what lies beneath their glamorous cabaret costumes and backstage scandals. Has she bitten off more than she can chew? Cabaret of Monsters. Chapter 1. La Villa. Before Saturnalis. Knox. I am angry. I know what they think of me. La Villa, Lord Wolf, bitch of Alfler. They think I'm hard and sharp and cruel. They think I'm frivolous and wasteful, that I haven't a thought in my head beyond what to wear and who to frig. Even my lover, Garnet, the power and majesty. He does not see all of me. He sees the woman and the wolves. He sees the frocks and painted mouth. He sees me bite and watches me sleep. He thinks I am his weapon to wield. I leave Garnet sleeping in our bed and walk out of the room naked because I plan to shift my skin as soon as possible. How to be human? You wear clothes and say witty things. You go where you're told and fight the sky until it bleeds, and then the next day you get up and do it all over again. How to be a wolf? The sky still needs fighting, but you don't worry about why. You simply are. Being a wolf is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I change into my favourite shape and I'm off, running the length of the underground ruin of a city where we make our home. Here's one of my secrets. I can choose to be one wolf or two. When we change our shape, we keep the same mass. In front of others, I choose to be two wolves, because one can watch and one can leap. In our world, we pretend to be stronger than we are so that the others do not bite out our throats. As the only female lord of the Creature Court, it's in my interest to be underestimated. If they truly knew the scope of my ambition, they would put me down without hesitation. Garnet, most of all. When I am two wolves, I am sleek and delicate of feature. Sometimes one larger and one smaller, sometimes two medium-sized, clearly female wolves. When I am alone, I walk on four paws. I let myself be huge. The mass of a slender and long-limbed human makes for an enormous wolf. I let myself be La Villa. The La Villa that I always wanted to be. Fierce, proud, powerful. After my run, I don't return to Garnet's bed, but my own, in the apartment below his balcony. Here, my Cortese are asleep, together with those of Warlord. Grey moon cats and brocks and wolf pups. Ravens cover every high ledge in the room. Bats hang from the ceiling. There's Warlord himself, my sweet Mars. Sleeping bare, the dark of his skin glowing against lamplit sheets. I slide out of my wolf skin and into human shape, my own dark hair tumbling down my bare back. Shh, I'm here. He smiles, still half asleep, and rolls over to welcome me into his bed. Come and get me then. I should sleep. It's daylight, and we need strength to fight the sky every nox, but Mars pulls me in, soft and hungry, takes hold of my thigh with his broad hand. La Villa. This is my pack now, his and mine. I can never let go of Garnet. Garnet will never let go of me. But here, with my warlord and our Cortese, I am loved instead of owned. It's a strange sort of family. Mars slides his mouth wetly over my breast, taking it into his mouth. Long, slow, luxurious licks. La Villa, he says again. Yes, I breathe back. Yes to everything. Yes, I'm home. Nox falls and the sky falls with it. I wake up with a shudder, half holding on to my bad dream. Then I realize that the bed is shuddering under me, the walls, the den. Wolf pups leap at me, bouncing on the bed, forming themselves into the body of Shenard. 15 years old and eager for battle. Is it time? I tie up my hair in a long loop with a favourite clasp. It's always time. No point in choosing clothes for the battle. I fashion myself into lord form, stronger than any squishy human, all spiky power and muscles that could wrestle my wolf self to the ground. Beside me, Mars shapes himself into warlord, his greater self. My equal. To me, he growls. And his Cortese gather to him, still in their creature forms, cats and bats and brocks. The ravens are mine. Janvier, I call, and he forms himself in a blur of black feathers into my rangy warrior. Can we go? Shenard begs. We leave in formation, swarming out of the den and down the tunnels, towards the lock that will release us into the city above and the sky. Always the sky. The sky is waiting to kill us. Above the city, Garnet comes into his own as power and majesty. The lords and court flock to him, taking his orders, lending our power to his. I can't fight the sky at his side without remembering what it was like a decade ago when we were as young as Janvier and Shenard are now. Garnet and I had a different pack then. We served Tasha, our Lord of Lions, along with other Cortese, Ashiel, Lysander, long gone, both of them, the boy poet. Tasha was glorious. She terrified me during daylight hours, but when Nox fell and the sky burned, she was a saint and an angel, queen and princessa. I loved and hated her in equal measure. I wonder if I'll ever be able to hold Garnet in my arms and not think about the day that he killed her. Up here, at least, I can think about our enemy. The sky does not have a voice or a face. It sends crackling weapons of light and colour, brightness and texture. It would destroy our city if we were not here, biting and clawing, defending our Fleur. Our Fleur does not even know that we exist. That the war goes on, that they owe everything to us. Finally, the battle is over. hours before dawn. It was a good Nox. No one's dead. My boys scamper away with Warlord and his Cortese. Garnet is nowhere to be seen, but I know he's expecting me back at the Haymarket to pay court to him as power and majesty. I fall out of wolf shape, and for one solitary moment I stand on the edge of the cathedral roof, naked and shameless, watching the city we've saved. I let myself feel instead of hiding beneath the layers of flirtation and threat. I feel nothing. Behind me, a roof tile scrapes, and I feel the presence of a man I once thought of as a brother. Poet is an enigma. Barely into his 20s, he dresses as a fine seigneur and plays the showman, like he's a man twice his age. Even now, naked and exhausted from the battle, he builds his stage self with me as his audience, chin up, smile sweet, eyes knowing. "Hello, dearling," he says. "What do you want?" My voice is flat because I don't care. I don't want to put on a show. Let me be alone for a minute, for an hour. Can't I have a moment to myself? "To save your life," he says. I snap at him, impatient with his nonsense. "Don't be so dramatic." "You're interested, though," he murmurs. "I've got your attention." "The battle's over, poet. Go home to your lads." Poet has never been comfortable with the pecking order of the creature court. Like me, he started off low as dirt. He never quite settled into being a lord instead of a Cortese. This year, he finally took on two Cortese of his own, the bear and the weasel. It's been good for him, I think. It keeps him tethered here among us. I no longer watch him to see if this Nox will be the one he chooses to run away from the city or finally embrace a death by sky. Only now does it occur to me that he's been watching me for those signs too. "You're in trouble," he says, in a low, urgent voice. I brush him off. "What are you talking about? I'm fine. I'm marvellous." "You're not happy, Liv. Do you think I can't tell the difference?" "I have everything I ever wanted," I hiss at him, and the lie is too big for either of us to swallow. "There are 3 hours until dawn," Poet says, in the softest voice. "Give them to me. I need a favour." I raise my eyebrows, unimpressed. "Which is it, doing you a favour or saving my life?" He gives me his most angelic face. Can't it be both? Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.